found everywhere you can listen to podcasts. It's Caffeinated and Confused with Hannah.
That's a very confusing time for any young lady.
We are back. We are caffeinated. We are confused, and we're back in action. So this episode is going to be my chit-chats with Tiger Lily Gold, who are two sisters who, I guess at this point when you're hearing this, played our St. Jude Jam last night. Weird to say that because today when I'm recording this, it's Tuesday, but it's going to be released Wednesday. Anyway, they are amazing. I am obsessed with them, and I'm super excited for you to hear our conversation because we had a lot of girl talk, and I just love hearing different artists' stories, how they got to where they are, and every single story is different, so it's really cool. But I did want to, I guess, have a little solo mini episode before my talk with Tiger Lily Gold because it's been a couple of weeks since we have talked on the podcast. So let's talk about why there hasn't been a podcast in a couple of weeks. The last episode was with Mike Pazorski, which was an amazing episode, psychic medium. And it's actually kind of ironic, I guess, that I took a couple week break after that episode because he was very adamant in the episode that I need to focus on the podcast and that I need to keep going with it because he sees big things. And then I went and didn't release an episode for like 3 weeks. So that was my bad. Oops, I guess I wasn't following my intuition. Or actually, I think I was following my intuition because there was just a lot of stuff going on. So that episode was released March 13th. And then the week after that, let's see here, March 13th. The week after that was Sam Hunt week. So concert weeks are pretty busy because we have a lot that we need to get ready for the show. I'm typically working the pre-party before the show, which means I have a lot of shows. How many times can I say the word show? My God, take a drink every time I just said that. I have a lot of stuff that I have to record before that day. So long story short, it was just a really busy week. And sometimes I, you know, get a little bit overwhelmed, and I was like, I just can't even think about the podcast right now. So that was the week after the Mike episode. The week after that, I guess would be, if we're doing pits and peaks here, would be my pit. Because I had to put my cat down, and I'm going to do my best not to cry when I talk about it because it was, a really, really hard week. And, yeah, I'm going to try not to get emotional. So basically, I had to make the decision the weekend before that. My cat had, I mean, he was old, but he wasn't, I guess for cat years, like he wasn't super old. He was 12. But he was the runt of the litter. Like when I got him, he was less than a pound. He was so teeny tiny. So he's always been a really little cat. And over the last couple of years, he's just had different health issues. I've had to spend, you know, just a dumb amount of money on tests and figuring it out. He was on steroids for like the last 4 years just for health stuff that he had going on. So, he's always been little, but it was probably late last year, maybe even like, I don't know, like end of summer, that he started losing a lot of weight. And, you know, took him to the vet a bunch of times. They found out he had this certain issue, so he got medication for that. But he just wasn't getting better. And then probably like 3 weeks ago, he just kind of stopped eating. Like I couldn't get him to eat anything. And I could just tell, you know, that it wasn't going to get better. So I had been putting it off and putting it off. And anyone who has ever lost a pet, also it drives me nuts. Not like anyone has done this to me because like I'll get into, I guess my peak was kind of the same situation. I'll get into how amazing the people in my life are. But I feel like people don't take cats as seriously as they take dogs, which is so weird to me because it's the same thing. Like that's an animal that you bring into your home and you love and take care of and whatever. Like if I don't know, whatever. Long story short, losing a pet is like so hard. It doesn't matter what kind of pet it is. It can be a fish, a bunny, like any pet that you bring into your home and you love for years and years and years. And Leo was like my ride or die. God dang it. Why am I getting emotional? He was like, I don't know. I got him when I was 22. Like, you know, going through different friend situations and roommates and then living on our own and moving home. And Yeah, just played like a really big role in my life. So having to make that decision was really, really, really hard because I knew it was the right thing to do, but selfishly, like I wanted him to live forever and I wanted him around. So it was a really tough decision to make. So that Sunday is when I kind of was like, okay, I know I'm gonna have to do it. So Monday is when I called the vet to make the appointment. They were able to get me in that day. So like I'm on the phone. I went to the gym that morning. I was on the phone with the vet on my way home and I'm like bawling already, even calling them to tell them I needed to make the appointment. So I'm like, this is going to be just an absolute shit show of a situation. So I called into work that day and his appointment wasn't until like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So spent the whole day just cuddling, and I don't know why I just said it like that, cuddling, like who am I? Spent the whole day cuddling and just, you know, I like literally gave him whatever he wanted to eat. I just put a bunch of random stuff on a plate. I'm like, you haven't eaten in days. I'm gonna just put all of this stuff that I've never let you eat and I'm just gonna put it out. If you want to eat it, you want to eat it. So just spent the day, you know, laying in bed, laying on the couch. And yeah, then I chose to go by myself. I was like, I just want to be alone with him. God dang it. I keep getting so emotional. This was like weeks ago, but it sucks. Yeah, so had to do that. It was awful. I'm glad I was there, but it was really, really, really hard. And yeah, it sucked. I like still have PTSD from it, but yeah, so that was why I didn't do a podcast that week, because as you can tell, that was like two weeks ago and I'm still crying my face off about the situation. So there was no way I was going to do a podcast that week. I was like, I just want to sit in my misery and I want to be sad and everyone can piss off. I'm just kidding. That was mean. But you know what I'm saying? Like I wanted to be sad. So that was a really tough week. Still tough, still sad, but it's part of life. I guess that's, you know, what we sign up for when we get pets, but it sucks. So that was my pit, obviously. That was awful. But my peak, I guess, is when you are in moments like that where, you know, you have a loss in your life and you're really sad. And it really just goes to show you how awesome the people in your life are. I mean, that morning had told like the girls in my book club what was going on. And like an hour later, flowers were delivered to my house from book club. I had another friend, Megan, shout out Megan, I know she listens. I'm like in bed bawling. It was like right after I had gotten home, and her and her kids, who are like my favorite kiddos on the planet, stopped over to surprise me with a bottle of wine and some chocolate, and the kids like a little handwritten thing, and just seeing the kids made me happy. And then that night, my friends Chelsea and Laura came over. They brought me flowers and wine and food, and we just like ate and drank and watched The Bachelor on my couch, and it was very healing. I was like, I just needed that in my life. So yeah, and just like throughout the week, I mean, just the amount of people who like reached out and, you know, sent me like money for coffee on Venmo, and it was just a great reminder that even when you go through crappy times, like if you have good people surrounding you, that it makes things better. I literally just, you guys, I like just cried my eyelashes off. We have our St. Jude jam in a few hours. Why did I decide to make a podcast about my cat dying? My God, I look like a hot mess. So yeah, that is kind of an update. And then last week, I was going to have my friend Trey on the podcast, and then we got a snowstorm and all the power went out and he was going on a trip. So like I don't know, whatever. Long story short, we're back. Okay. I'm going to figure out the next handful of guests that we're going to have over the next couple of weeks, hoping to get Trey on next week. And yeah, that's kind of a nutshell. My last couple of weeks have actually been like insanity, specifically the last two Saturdays. two Saturdays ago, my friends and I do the gym every Saturday at 9 a.m. It's like our thing. So went to the gym, had left. I had, I think, 20 minutes to get ready. Like, I had to go home, shower, get ready. And then I went to little Rory, one of my friend's babies, his first birthday party was at Hinterland, which is a perfect place for a first birthday party, if you ask me. It was amazing. Pizza and beer and all that stuff. So went, had like 20 minutes, got ready, went to Rory's first birthday party, hung out. Then I went to my girl Hope's bridal shower, which was awesome. That was so much fun. It was beautiful. And we hung out there like all night. After everyone left, we just kind of hung around, got pizza, drank, played games. And so that was just a really busy day. And then Sunday was Easter, right? Yeah, it was just a crazy weekend. It was so busy, but so fun. And then last weekend was kind of the same situation. We did the gym Saturday morning, had, oh, you know, maybe like a half hour this time to go home and get ready to go to my friend Janie. She is like truly one of my oldest friends of all. Like, we have been friends since we were kids. We used to jump on my trampoline together before it blew away. As kids, like, she is one of my oldest friends. It was her baby shower. So we thought we were going to be late. We thought it started at noon. We showed up at like 10 afternoon thinking we were late. Turns out it didn't start until 12:30. So we got a couple beers and hung out before that started. But then we went to that and then went to my friend Cody, had a basketball tournament in Kakana. So got drinks and then went to that. So it's been a busy couple of weekends. And then this weekend, I'm going to Utah. I'm so excited. So it's Hope's bachelorette party this weekend. And we've got, I think, like 13 girls going to Park City, Utah. So we leave Thursday, which I guess when you're listening to this, pending when you listen, when this episode comes out, it'll be tomorrow. And we come back Sunday, but I'm so excited. We have been like group chatting about our outfits for weeks. And I just love a girls' trip. There is quite literally nothing I love more. And we got, I mean, the coolest house, like with a hot tub overlooking the mountains. One of the nights we're just staying in, we all got pajamas and we're just going to stay in with pajamas and, you know, food and just play games. I'm so excited. Some of the girls are skiing one day. We're going to hike and get coffee. And I just can't wait. Utah's always been on my bucket list. So I'm super stoked for that. And the group of girls we're going with is really fun. So I debated bringing microphones to podcast from Utah, but I just don't think that that would work. Maybe I'll have Hope come on and we'll do like a recap or something in a week or two, but I just feel like that's too many girls to do. So that is what I have coming up this week. And yeah, then things just start rolling. It's a really busy time of year already, which is crazy. So that is my life. Maybe I'll do an episode. I did want to talk about the freaking conjoined twins that got married, because I'm still shooketh by that. If you follow me on Instagram, then, you know, but we'll do like a separate episode with pop culture. But I just wanted to give you kind of a recap of why we haven't had an episode in a couple of weeks, what has been going on with me, and sorry for crying. Whatever. Actually, I'm not. I cry all the time. I don't even care. And now we're going to get into my interview with Tiger Lily Gold. I don't even want to say interview. It wasn't an interview at all. It was just a bunch of girls talking and we had so much fun. So here we go. Here's Tiger Lily Gold. I've had a couple guys on where I just grill them about why they're the worst. So it's great. All right. So yeah, we'll just get into it and just chit chat because we have a lot to discuss. So, okay, Kendra Krista. She's, you have a third sister? Is she musical?
She's not in the band, but we love her. She's actually going to graduate college this year to become a radiology technologist.
What?
She said it's not a technician.
You didn't say that right at all.
Rad tech program. She's graduated from that.
Technologist.
She's something related to taking x-rays.
Is she like musically gifted, or she just didn't want to get into
she
it?
She loves music.
She loves music. I wouldn't say she got the gift of music, but she loves to sing. She loves to go to concerts. She loves to go to festivals. She's our biggest fan. And
but she would get stage fright. She doesn't like to perform is the main thing.
You have to come up with a name. So you know how the Jonas Brothers, how Frankie is the bonus Jonas?
Yeah.
You need to come up with a name for her. What is your guy's last name?
Well, it's Slaybaugh. So that's not
really Gold.
We got to come come up with something for her.
Yeah, we'll think of something. I haven't thought of that, but yeah, it's hilarious that you say that, because I'm like, a lot of people don't know we have another sister, and I'm like, poor Carly. Yeah. She, you know, she's just as important.
So you guys are like the female country version of the Jonas Brothers.
I'll take that any day, honestly.
So how did you guys, you grew up in North Dakota. I know we talked about that. I mean, when I saw you guys at the Packer game, I had probably already had 17 beverages.
Yeah.
I assume you guys had some cocktails after you did the anthem.
Yeah, that was our first NFL anthem, actually, was at Lambeau Field, which was so cool. That was amazing. I was actually born in Wisconsin, but I only lived here for like a year. Yeah, Racine, and my dad was working in Milwaukee in the emergency room. He's a respiratory therapist. Mm-hmm. And then we ended up moving to North Dakota. She was born there. So we grew up in North Dakota. But yeah, we're Midwest girls through and through.
But that national anthem was so such a crazy and amazing experience. We were a little nervous, not going to lie. But yes, every time we're in Wisconsin, we have to celebrate with some spotted cow.
Yes.
After we're done with our duties. And we also got to share a suite with Mr. Lil Wayne.
That was insane.
He went up to my parents because our parents came, because they're Packers and Vikings are the two teams that in North. If you're from North Dakota, you probably like one of those two teams. Obviously, you know, Packers over here.
I thought you were going to say Packers are number one. I'm like, that's right, girl.
Yeah. And so they were in the suite, and Lil Wayne literally went up to my parents and like introduced himself and was like, hey, you know, in his low voice, I'm Wayne. I think that's the funniest story I have, like, in my back pocket. He liked us, but he loved our parents more. Like, he was so nice to them. We got to take a picture with him. And the first thing I noticed was he was eating Nerd Bites. And Krista's favorite candy is those Nerd Bites in, like, the pink package. The gummy clusters. And that's what he was eating. I was like, we have so much in common with Lil Wayne.
You know, you see you guys and you see Lil Wayne and you just assume like they have a lot in common.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the collab. Krista did say before.
I said on our way out, because I thought to myself, when am I going to see Lil Wayne again?
Right.
Shoot your shot. You know? Yeah. So I said to him, and I said, hey, if you're ever thinking about doing a country collab, we're your girls.
We got you.
Honestly, though, that's kind of the trend right now is all these people doing country stuff. So I feel like he's going to remember that. He's going to be like, dang, I got to reach out to those Tiger Lily girls.
You know, we're in, so we're just waiting for him to you know.
Fall through. Come through, Lil Wayne.
You know, he's not busy at all, I'm sure, you know.
Start sliding into the DMs.
The thing is he, if I tag him in something, he'll send, like, hearts back, and he'll like my stuff.
So he knows.
So he's, I don't know if it's him or if it's a social media person or whatever doing it, but there is someone in the DMs reacting and responsive to what we're sending them. Which
have
is
you guys
cool.
noticed the thing on Instagram now where if you're like, if the person isn't following you, it only lets you send one message now, and then they have to like accept, and then you can send more. But because I was a big Bachelor Joey fan, I'm like, I'm gonna just, you know, message me like, hey, you want to come on my podcast, and then make you fall in love with me and whatever. And it only let me send him one message, and it said you can only send more if they like accept you or something. I'm like, that's smart, but also tough.
I actually did not know that. I must not send a lot of DMs.
They should at least
give you three.
Yeah,
I think three is a fair shot. Three to five is a fair shot. One's
a little stiff.
That's pretty harsh. Yeah.
How are they going to know how passionate you truly are if they don't give you the option to continue, you know?
Yeah. I mean, man, like if I wanted to message, you know, Justin Bieber or something, I feel like I should be given more than one time.
Is that your celebrity crush?
I don't know if it's current, but that was my obsession for a very long time.
Had and still has the Bieber fever.
Yeah, I think he's just so talented. His voice is so good. Yeah, for my 21st birthday, my now husband got me tickets, and I cried when that happened. So, I love Justin Bieber. I think he's incredibly talented.
One of my best friends, Laura, is Bieber fever to the max.
Bieber.
And
absolutely.
I have the best, you know, like live pictures on your phone.
Yeah.
we're at a bar. And so you can hear the music kind of bumping in the background. And we're taking a mirror selfie. And Justin Bieber starts playing. And all of a sudden she goes, Justin Bieber! And so you can see it on the live picture. And it's just like the greatest gift to all kind. I'm like, Justin Bieber needs to see that.
I love that. Like, I would watch, you know, when he did that movie, I can't remember what it was called. It was like the Justin Bieber movie, literally.
Was it like Justice?
I don't remember. But anyways, whatever movie it was, I watched it over and over and over. Never Say Never. Never Say Never. That's what it was called. Oh my gosh. That was one of my favorite movies.
So who is your celebrity crush then?
Growing up, probably the classic Zac Efron. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was Team Jacob.
Oh.
As far as Jacob versus Edward. Yeah, Edward was too pale for me.
Yeah, that's fair.
You're like the most pale person in the world.
Yeah, that doesn't mean I like it.
That's a spray tanzer for.
And also, Jacob was way more ripped, and I also
after
like
this boy. First movie, he was
after
more
the
ripped.
First movie,
yeah.
Now I'm currently very into Jacob Elordi.
Oh, he is
a hottie.
He is hot.
You know the guy in 1921, is that the name of the 23? Series? 1923. The like the spinoff of the Yellowstone series.
There's I didn't watch that one.
One of the guys in this in like Africa doing.
I haven't seen it. So.
Anyways. He's
I think I have a new celebrity crush like every week just with consuming so much media and shows and stuff. Like I'll have such an infatuation with someone and then 2 weeks later I just don't care. Like, oh, I was obsessed with them 2 weeks ago. It's just crazy how fast we consume and how just crazy it all is.
Wild. Social media is wild, man. Next video, next video, next video.
I know. I can barely watch movies anymore because my attention span is so short. I'm like, nah, I'll just scroll TikTok.
Right. Even when we're thinking about posting stuff, I'm like, anything longer than like a minute and 30, even that's long. Like, you have to cut everything down.
Okay, I want to talk about that because I know that's kind of how you guys blew up was on TikTok, which I feel like COVID, obviously quarantine sucked for a lot of people, but I also feel like it gave a lot of artists. I mean, you hear about all these artists now who got platforms from kind of blowing up during that time.
Yeah.
So do you want to just talk about, I mean, we were just kind of talking about it off air, but talk about how that all came about.
We're sisters, but we have been doing music together independently for 8 years, playing on Broadway in Nashville for Tips. We toured the Midwest for a while before moving to Nashville. But obviously when the pandemic hit, our gigs were not there anymore, did not exist. So we were bored and I said, Kendra, hey, there's this app called TikTok. I know you think you're too old for it.
I still think that.
But I had gone viral for a video that had nothing to do with music. And I thought, hey, we should use this for our music. Let's just post videos of us singing in our kitchen, acoustic covers of all the songs we do on Broadway. Mm-hmm. So we would start posting 2 to 3 covers a day on TikTok during the pandemic. And soon enough, a couple of them started to blow up and we were gaining hundreds of thousands of followers, which was so cool and also gave us that motivation to keep making music throughout the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And then that, along with a couple other things, caught the attention of Katie McCartney and Shay McAnally from Monument Records. Mm-hmm. So during the pandemic, we went from having no job to signing a record deal, which is crazy.
Yeah, it was wild, wild times. I feel like that was the first moment we felt like a really big dream had come true. And as much as the pandemic was the worst of times for, you know, so many people, for us really in our career was definitely one of the lowest points. It also became one of the biggest blessings in a way of finding a home with Monument Records and then signing a publishing deal with Smack Songs and management and a booking agent and all the things. And so it's crazy how just really when you're hitting your lowest, sometimes that's when the biggest things come along and the biggest blessings arrive. And so we're just super grateful that we stuck it out and stayed in Nashville. And you know, here today, and we have a song at country radio, and it's just so crazy to even say things like that. We've been doing this for 11 years now, and I feel like we're just now really starting to hit that stride.
For sure. And I've had that conversation. I've had, like, Matt Stell has been on the podcast and stuff. And so we've kind of talked about how people who are not in the industry don't see all of the years that it took, you know, like all of a sudden you're just in their life and they're like, oh, like that's awesome. They just blew up. And it's like, no, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes and a lot of work that goes
and
into
it. Okay. Like, I don't expect people to understand the whole music industry, the whole career.
Because we don't understand careers of everyone.
True.
It's else either. Yeah.
Pretty rare that people are actually overnight successes. Yes, there's a couple exceptions to the rule, of course, but if you see someone just coming out of nowhere, their music's everywhere, they've probably been working really hard for a decade prior.
Of course, there's people who just have a really good look, and you're like, man, that seemed so easy.
Effortless.
Yeah, so effortless. I wish that was the same for me. But, you know, overall, yeah, you see, like, Lainey Wilson up there, and anyone who says she's an overnight success, she's been doing this for, what, 15
a long
years?
Time, yeah.
Hayley Witter, she's been doing it, you know, same amount of time, and you know, Walker Hayes, he hit a stride and he's been doing this for 20, 30, how many years? It's people have just been grinding and grinding and grinding. And that's kind of part of our story, too. It's where, you know, honestly, I hope someone's like, they're an overnight success, because that means,
I would love that.
You know, hopefully that means we're doing well. But honestly, it's just been years and years of hard work. And we always say slow and steady wins the race. And we've just tried to take small steps every day to get us to where we want to be, really.
And it just makes you appreciate it more, too, just knowing how much hard work, you know, anything in life, if it's someone who's spoon-fed or whatever, it's like you don't know what it is to struggle. And I just feel like that makes the sweeter things more sweet. And, like, you guys just got to go to the CMT Awards.
Yeah.
And, like, stuff like that just must be so much more amazing to know that, like, you worked your butt off to get there.
Yeah, I think it just it means so much to us when that stuff happens now. And it's super validating to know that all the work we have put in wasn't for nothing, and it really is paying off. And it just, it makes everything that much sweeter for sure.
I really want to talk about songwriting, and then I want to talk about the ACM nomination because I'm so excited. But you were saying you were doing, like, cover songs and stuff on Broadway, and then you get signed to a deal with Shane McAnally, who is, like, the most talented songwriter of all time. So were you guys writing songs before that, or did he kind of help guide you into it?
Yeah, so Kendra and I both started writing songs at a young age. I was 10 years old when I started, and then Kendra soon followed after, and we would write songs together in North Dakota because there's not a lot of co-writing, obviously, in North Dakota. And when we moved to Nashville, played Broadway 3 times a week, we went to college full-time and also would write 3 times a week. And that was our lives for the first 3 to 4 years in Nashville.
We had no
social life.
Yeah. That was our social life.
But our social life was, our work life was fun. So we didn't feel like we needed a huge social life.
But I think moving to Nashville really helped us craft our songwriting.
Yeah.
And then obviously we are such big fans of Shane, and we still can't believe we get to work with him. He produces our music as well. And the first time we met Shane was to go play for him to see if they wanted to sign us at the record label, which was so nerve-wracking. And here I am sitting in front of my hero just praying, hey, this man could really change our career.
Yeah.
Because he's someone who people just respect so much, rightfully so. But songwriting to us always has been important because I think to get unique stuff that fits you, it's much easier if it comes from you. Obviously, there's so many talented songwriters in Nashville, and we do look at outside songs as well because there are amazing songs in Nashville, and there's songwriters every day busting their behinds just to get that perfect song. But obviously, a Tiger Lily Gold record, who knows better than what we want to say than us? So we have a lot of trusted people in Nashville that we write with, and they help us bring our ideas to life. And also, when we sign with Smack, I feel like, too, the people we were put with, they just make us better.
Yeah, I feel like you can learn so much just from being in a room with writers you can learn from and who have more experience than you, and you're just trying to take it all in and learn from them. And I think writing is something in the last 6 years, almost 7 years of being in Nashville, just seeing
the growth.
Difference from when we moved here to now. And we still have so much to learn. And, you know, I hope 10 years from now we look back and say, wow, like, look how much we've grown. But that is something that I think moving to Nashville is so valuable for. Like, young artist, I would say that's a huge part of being in Nashville, is just the collaboration portion of it.
And I will say, even when we were doing cover gigs on Broadway, we ended up playing at Dierks Bentley's Whiskey Row for most of our gigs down there, two years straight down at Whiskey Row. And they would allow us to play original music, kind of spruce it in there every hour,
like
one
spruce.
Or two. Spruce it in there.
But word of the day.
The point was, we were still trying to create our own original music while making a living downtown. It was very important to us to keep those two livelihoods alive at the same time and let people on downtown Nashville know, hey, I know you're here to party, but also we have original music. We're just going to pop that in there, and then we'll go back to playing Friends in Low Places. It's all good.
I love that. And I just love, I mean, the idea of writing a song. I do not know how to write a song, but I consume it very well because I'm one of those girls, like, I'm a lyric girl where I will dive into all lyrics. And it must just be cool to, you know, have a feeling that maybe you feel like you're alone in that feeling. You release a song about it, and then just to get to hear other people's stories and how they relate. Like, I just imagine that has to be really cool.
Yeah, that's extremely gratifying. I will say we have a song out right now called I Try to Ring On. We wrote it from the perspective more of, you know, mentally trying a ring on or maybe physically trying one on. But since we've released it, it's like people who have been divorced or, you know, there's all these different kinds of stories of how people get in and out of relationships. And they've shared them with us through this song. And I think just how people can take a song, relate it to their own story, their own life is the coolest thing. And it really just connects us all. And everyone says music is the universal language. And it really is. It's true.
And it's so awesome that even if it is a sad song, that you're not alone. Mm-hmm. Because for me, there was a period of time where I did not enjoy singing I Try to Ring On. It wasn't fun for me to sing that song live right. because I was going through it at the time. But it was nice to know that every time I sang it, it wasn't enjoyable for me, but at least there was other people in the room that were feeling what I was feeling and going through it at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that really helped me a lot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that would just be a way to kind of lift you up because it's like you don't know those people personally, but they're kind of your support, you know, and they're lifting totally. You up in the moment, which is really, I just love music. I love live shows. Like, I will just cry. I'm like, oh my God, that's just a room at the Taylor. Did you guys see the Eras tour?
We're going in November.
Oh,
yes.
It was literally the best night of my life. And you just look around and you're like, why can't the world be more like this? Just right. people in, you know, sparkly dresses and everyone's just so happy and just singing. I'm like, the world should
girlhood.
Be in tour.
The yeah, way girlhood. The way it makes people feel is just, it's such a magical experience. It's funny because we have the concert in our calendar and like all of our radio reps and our label and like management know like they cannot put
Don't
something they cannot put something on Swift Day.
No.
Like we had that concert will inspire us more than anything, you know.
Yes.
Obviously, you know, if something would come up, we would definitely take
no,
it.
No,
but
don't.
Well, it depends on what it is.
Yeah.
It'd be a conversation, but it would have to be something pretty strong.
Oh, I'm so excited for you. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, now the ACM Awards. This has to just be like the coolest thing ever. So I want you to kind of tell the story that we were talking about off air. We already touched on the mm-hmm. Broadway thing, but if you want to go into it, because it's really cool.
Yeah, so this morning, hot off the press, we
Woo!
Just got nominated for our first ACM award for new group duo of the year, which is the coolest thing to say. I just, man, 11 years. And as little girls, we would just, I remember we would like in front of our parents do these dances and sing and then these acceptance speeches, like just for fun, you know, like being little girls. And the fact that we're here now and have this nomination is just absolutely wild. But yeah, we were talking earlier, and Krista kind of touched on this. What through the pandemic, we were actually recipients of ACM Lifting Lives. They had given both of us a grant basically to help us get through the pandemic and help us stay in Nashville because we didn't have any income coming in. And so that was a really incredible way for them to help us stay there. And so to be a recipient of that, 4 years ago to now being nominated is absolutely insane. And we're so grateful for this journey. And our teams around us are like the best of the best. And we're so, so grateful for them. It's just really, really surreal. And the best part is that I get to share it with my sister. Like, that's yeah. the coolest thing in the world.
It's a slumber party every night.
Which I'm sure has its highs and its lows.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I'm like,
not enough counter space.
Yes, yeah. It's always the
counter space.
Nothing else. It's the counter space.
You're breathing too loud.
And you're allowed to yell at each other because you're sisters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, anyone who travels with us knows that if we do bicker at all, 5 minutes later, we'll be like, so what are we eating tonight? Like, yeah. It's just we
nothing's ever that deep.
Yeah. Our rebound rate is like 10 seconds. We're back to normal. It's just,
again, girlhood.
Girlhood.
It's all in girlhood.
Yeah, we're besties, we're sisters, and we really don't fight. Honestly.
No, because if we did not get along, there's absolutely no way we could spend this much time together.
No.
And I don't think that's what people understand, because obviously a lot of people want to know what our relationship is like, the dynamic of being in a band with your sister, because mm-hmm. not everybody can work with their sibling. And then I understand that. But, man, we were unsuccessful for a lot of years. And we still enjoyed each other's company and being a band together. I shouldn't say unsuccessful, but, you know,
yeah.
compared to now. But
really from the ground up.
Exactly.
Yes.
We started from the bottom. Now we're here.
There was just so many song lyrics in that one
yeah.
sentence.
Damn it,
Drake. No, didn't even intend to do it.
Hilarious.
Yes. Right. But no, we really do love having each other on this journey for all the highs and the lows. And we're best friends. I mean, and best friends bicker sometimes, and that's okay.
Absolutely. I think that's healthy if we always, you know, got along and agreed on everything.
Because we have very different personalities. We have the same goals. Mm-hmm. And we align personally with what we want out of our careers together, which is great. We always agree on song choices, too. And we always write our songs together. So career-wise, we are very lined up. We only really bicker about personal decisions that we don't agree on.
More like Krista's personal.
Kendra, older sister, does not approve of my decisions sometimes.
I'm with you there, girl. Probably wouldn't approve of mine either.
I'm just kidding.
Do you guys get to, one of my life goals is to go to an award show. That's just, ever since I was a little girl, like I would watch the red carpets and like I've just always wanted to go to an award show. Still haven't gotten to, but I want to know, do you guys, and you get to experience it together, which is cool. Do you fangirl over all of the people that you get to see? I would freak out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So at the CMT Awards last week.
I think we were about to tell the same story.
Well, this week, because this
like
was the
two
highlight.
Days ago.
Yeah, we were just at the CMT Awards. You're catching us on a really good day, honestly.
I'm so happy. Get to be a part of it.
But the coolest thing is getting to meet other artists. And at the CMT Awards, we were about to sit down. And Mrs. Trisha
Yearwood
walks past us, and obviously we love her and Garth. We say, hey, we love you. Something along those lines. She's like, oh my gosh, girls, I love you and your song. And I was like, sure, whatever.
And then she starts singing it. She goes, one tequila, two tequila. I'm like, Trisha Yearwood is singing our song to us right now.
I think I would have fallen on
the
ground.
And she goes, yeah, me and my husband love you guys. I'm like, your husband as in
Garth
Brooks? Okay, we both literally had tears in our eyes.
And like, she's going to make me sob right before I have to go out there.
She saw the tears in our eyes for sure. We were like, we love you. This is like the coolest thing to happen to us ever. So moments like that, I think, yeah, we fangirl. I mean, we're just fans of artists and country music and to be a part of it. It's just cool now because after 7 years of being in Nashville, it's nice to... We're still meeting so many new people like Trisha, and we just met Jelly Roll for the first time.
I love him so
He was
much.
Telling us that our song's doing really well in California because he did this radio taping. And so just things like that are so cool to us. But yeah, we definitely fangirl. But it's nice to know more people now as we go. Like if we
you
run
feel
in.
Like you're a part of the family.
Yes. Yes.
You might be the fifth cousin removed part of the family still, but we're in the family.
Yeah, you're invited to Christmas.
Yeah, we're invited to Christmas dinner. Yeah.
So that's all that really matters.
Yeah.
When is the ACM Awards?
May 16th, I believe. I actually didn't even check that. I think it's May 16th.
Are those in Vegas?
Frisco, actually. It's in Texas. They moved them to Texas now.
May 16th, good job.
And we went last year to the ACMs for the first time. That was our first red carpet we ever walked. And we got to like play this pre-red carpet show that they aired live. And so, man, we're just so excited. This year is going to be incredible. And a lot of our friends are nominated too for the first time. So it's really fun. You talk about girlhood. Like we were on the phone with Kylie Morgan this morning.
Oh,
like,
I love
just
her.
Being like, oh my gosh. And, you know, texting with Ashley this morning, just being like, or Ashley Cook. And just, it's so fun, this class of women to be hyping everyone up. And they're just so awesome. And, you know, we saw Priscilla at the CMT Awards, and she was at the airport the other day, and she's like, y'all, if you ever, you know, want to come out with us after an award show, you need to tell me because we're going to hang out. Like, she's just so sweet, and it's just fun being able to obviously celebrate our wins, but also all these other ladies winning too.
Like we said before, you see all these people who you think are overnight successes. We know they've been busting their butts as well.
Yeah.
And it's just about time. Like, there are so many.
Come on.
Yeah, there are just so many talented female artists. Like, I remember when Ashley, I think it was 2 years ago, maybe like a year and a half ago, she came for radio tour. Mm-hmm. I brought her out with my friends and I, and we just like had a time. And it was right when she was going through the breakup that she wrote about on the album.
Yep.
So I remember like, and I was just going through something. So we were like all emo over spicy margaritas. And then when she won the award for the song, she wrote about that experience. I was like, oh my God, like this is just so cool. And like, it's about time because, you know, there are just so many talented women.
Yeah. And I feel like all these women, they're really strong. They all have something to say. They all have a little fire within them, which is
what you gotta.
Which you gotta. I love that. Because, to grind it out for 10, 11, how many years, you know, everyone's been doing it, you gotta just have that grit a little bit.
Yeah,
so.
Our whole motto is look prissy, act scrappy. You never know it, but.
Do you have t-shirts that say that? Because you should.
No, but no one else steal it.
I was like, what are you about to say? I actually don't know.
I've said that before.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that. Well, I'm so happy for you guys. I'm happy you're playing our St. Jude Jam tonight. This will probably come out either tomorrow or Thursday. I'm heading to Utah for a bachelorette party on Thursday.
Interesting going choice to, for a bach party.
I know.
Well, it's like so beautiful.
Is it like a national park route?
No, we're going to Park City. So we're just being like, you know, basic bitch.
Hey.
You know, we all have been sending each other outfits.
Yeah, it's usually like a ski. Is it ski resort?
A couple of the girls are skiing. The rest of us are going to get coffee and shop and go for a hike.
That's more my vibe. Krista would be skiing and I would be hot tub, shopping, massage. That's more, definitely more my
And like,
vibe.
I love hiking and I like experience. So we'll go for like a little. Otherwise, my other thing is while the other girls are skiing, I'm going to go sit in the ski lodge and find a husband.
Oh, that's the place to do it.
Because you know they got money there, right?
Sugar daddy on the slopes.
Sugar daddy on the slopes. That is going to be my motto of the weekend.
You're on one today, Krista.
That's that ACM high, baby.
All right, well, I'll keep you guys updated. If I find my husband, I'll message you and let you know if I find my sugar daddy
on
the slopes.
We manifested it here. I'm just saying that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yep. Well, I'm so happy for you guys. I'm excited for tonight. Thank you for coming. Hopefully, we can get you back to a Packer game. Let's just go all out. I'll bring you to the bar. Bars after. We're gonna have fun.
That sounds.
Maybe we should wait. What time do you guys fly out tomorrow?
Early.
Oh shoot.
Sadly, but we could maybe go out for one or two.
Yeah, tonight. I was gonna say I brought last year for a St. Jude Jam. It was Matt Stell, Priscilla, Jackson, Dean, and I brought them to the bar down the street after. Jackson was wandering the streets because I was like, okay, Jackson, you just go right across that parking lot and take a left. He's like, okay. I'm like, should I walk him back to the hotel? I get a call like 10 minutes later. I think I just saw Jackson Dean wandering the streets. I'm like, if I killed Jackson Dean, I swear to God.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that'd be terrible.
Hey, he's fearless. He would find his way home.
Nice. Wow, you really are on one. It's that caffeine. Wait, what was it? Oh, do you want to say the name of your podcast idea that you had in your head, or you want to, what was it again?
What was your idea?
Well, it was my idea. It was, you know, I was at a low time, so let's preface it with that. But
this was during the pandemic.
This was during the pandemic. It was going to be called Broken Bloated.
Love that.
But we need a new name for the podcast.
Yeah, we need a new name now because we got to, you know, we don't need to be broken. We don't need to be bloated.
Preach. I mean, it, you know, we
unless
can't help
we're gonna
the bloated
have some,
part.
I would say, actually, we just don't want to be broke because I will drink a few spotted cows and we're going to be bloated. So rich and bloated.
Rich
there we
and
go.
Bloated. All right. I was going to say you have two things. You have to find a nickname for your sister and a new name for the podcast.
Okay. Sounds good. We'll be thinking on that for sure.
Perfect. All right. Well, thanks for coming in, guys. We will see you tonight and good luck at the ACM Awards
Thank
in May.
You.
Bye.